Okay, so good evening. Now, officially, what we are discussing are topics in Hilchos Brachos. That's what we've been discussing for a few weeks. Although last week we kind of tried to finish up Hilchos Brachos, and then David Sidney, I think, was the one who came up with the suggestion, well, maybe we should just do Tfilos Haderech as like one last Hilchos Brachos topic. And it's a nice topic, it's an important topic. But the question really is Tfilos Haderech a topic in Hilchos Brachos? That's sort of what we have to discuss. You see, on a certain level, Brachos are fundamentally different than Tfilos. Let me explain. A Bracha, according to the paradigm of, let's say, Birchas HaNehen in the Bracha on food, that means that Brachos are really a matir, no? A Bracha permits me to eat the food until I recite a Bracha. So the food is forbidden. Hashemayim shemayim laHashem, v'aretz nasan ovnei adam. The Gemara says, kan kodem bracha, kan la'achar bracha. That before I recite a bracha, so the food is not mine. After I recite the bracha, the food becomes mine. So a bracha is fundamentally a matir. Rav Soloveitchik noted that the lashon of the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos is just like Hashem. Just like I recite a bracha before I eat food, I also recite a bracha on mitzvos, no? Before I put on tefillin, before I shake lula, before I blow shofar, you know, any mitzvah that I do, beforehand I recite a bracha, kol ha-mitzvos mevarchan alayhen over la-siyasan. So the idea that Rav Soloveitchik explained is since the Rambam is mentioning this expression of kishem, just like I make a bracha before I eat and drink, so also I make a bracha before my food, before I do mitzvos, that implies that the bracha before doing mitzvos is also a matir. A matir means it's an act that is necessary to grant permission to do this. Without the recitation of the bracha, there cannot be permission granted to do the act. Now, in the context of Birchas HaNehenin, I understand how it could be a matir. It's a matir in the sense of the food is technically not mine until I make the bracha. What does it mean that there's a matir by Birchas HaMitzvos? So Rav Soloveitchik explained in his own philosophical sort of way that man is by definition mortal. God is by definition immortal. There should be this unbridgeable gulf between man and God. And to do a mitzvah in a certain way and to try to approach God and come closer to God, because that's really what we do with our mitzvahs, in some ways is presumptuous. It's presumptuous for a human, for a man or a woman, to try to say, oh, God, you're amazing, you're so great, you're beyond my comprehension, but I'm going to get closer to you. Oh, was bin du? Like, what are you? You're garnished. You're nothing in there. You're lower than a garnished. Right? So you think you're getting closer to God? How can you pull that stunt off? Right? So the Rav explained that that's the idea of a bracha on a mitzvah to serve as a matir. What that means is that doing a mitzvah, doing an act of trying to come closer to God would be presumptuous. And absent the bracha, maybe I don't have license that's given to even do a mitzvah, to try to come closer to God.
Even though we're commanded.
What?
Even though we're commanded.
I'm commanded to do the mitzvah, but I have to recite a bracha beforehand as a way of preparing myself, as a way of almost requesting permission. It's, you remember as a kid, like, we used to play this game, what was it, Mother May I, Yes You May? It's almost like that, Lahavdil. No? The idea is, Mother, may I, right? Dad, right? God, may I do this act to come closer to you? Because on a certain level, right, I should not be able to even do that. Right? That's the way the Rav understood brachos. So brachos, according to the Rav, are fundamentally a matir. Hi. However, tefillah, davening, is very different, no? Tefillah is not fundamentally a matir. When I daven to Hashem, I'm not asking for permission to do anything. Rather, tefillah is fundamentally petition. No? Tefillah is I'm thanking God for what I was granted, and there's shevach, bakosh, and hodah. That's tefillah. First I praise God, then I request the things that I need. That's tefillah. So tefillah is fundamentally a petition. The question that we have to address is, what is Tfilas HaDerech? Is Tfilas HaDerech more like a bracha, or is Tfilas HaDerech more like a tefillah? Right? Is Tfilas HaDerech more of a petition that I'm asking God, please keep us safe? Or is Tfilas HaDerech somehow going to be closer to a bracha, closer to a matir. And you probably think that I'm crazy. How am I saying that tefillah is going to be a matir? So then I'll explain it after David's question.
A matir. That means that all brachos are material.
Right. So obviously there is another category of brachos out there, called birchos shevach v'hoda'a, the brachos that I pray, like, which is what we've been discussing the last couple of weeks, that I praise Hashem for natural phenomena. I thank God for beauty in the world, etc. Birchos shevach v'hoda'a, I think, does not really meet the bracha paradigm, but it also does not meet the tefillah paradigm. No, it's a different sort of category. Now, is tefillah's haderech birchas shevach v'hoda'a? Am I praising Hashem that He created this amazing thing called a trip? I don't think so. I don't think it really fits that paradigm, but it can fit the bracha paradigm or the tefillah paradigm, and that's what we're going to be learning tonight. So let's go. Zakli Gemara. Amar le Eliyahu l'Rav Yehuda achua d'Rab Sala chasida. Eliyahu, that is the prophet Elijah. So he said to Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rab Sala chasida, he told him a few interesting things. One, lo teratach v'lo techti. That means don't get angry in your own sin. Right, we all know that. When you get angry, that leads to sinning, no? That's well known. Next, lo tiravi v'lo techti. Don't get drunk and you won't sin. Right? In our drunken stupors, word to the wise, Purim is coming up, but okay, we'll leave it like that. Lo tiravi v'lo techti. Don't get drunk and you won't sin. Halacha number three. Kisha'ata yotzei l'derech. When you go out on the road, Hamlech bekoncha v'tzei. Ask permission of your owner, and then go out. Frekli gomar, my hamlech bekoncha v'tzei. What does it mean to ask permission of your owner and then go out? I'm Rav Yaakov, I'm Rav Chista, zut tefilas haderech. Wow. So tefilas haderech, the Gemara says, is hamlech bekoncha. Ask permission from your owner. Now, what does it mean to ask permission? So skip down two sources to the Rashi and Brachos on Chavtes. Rashi says, Hamlech means tol rishos. Get permission. Apparently what Rashi is saying in understanding the Gemara is that it would be forbidden to travel if you don't say Tefilas HaDerech. Hamlech bekoncha. Ask permission from God and then go out. No? There is a requirement, I would say a matir requirement, but we haven't fully explained yet how. To get permission to travel requires a tefillas haderech. Hamlech bekoncha v'tzei. Right? Now, a similar idea comes up in a different Gemara at the bottom of the page. Brachas gimel mebeis. Right? We'll say this other Gemara and then we'll try to explain what the permission aspect of Tfilas HaDerech is. Gemara at the bottom of this page, on Brachos Gimel Mebeis, Amrev Acha Bar Bizna, Amrev Shimon Chasida, Kinar, famous Gemara, Kinar Yataloi L'malo Mimitaso Shal David. There was a Kinar, by the way, a Kinar, we make a mistake, no? I always translated a Kinar how as a kid?
A harp,
right? Mm-hmm. So Rashi writes there in Brachos on Gimel that the Kinar was an instrument that the wind would blow into certain holes and make noise. That would be more like in the orchestras, there are the string section and the woodwind section. A kinar would be more of a woodwind, according to Rashi, than a string instrument. No? I don't know. I always thought as a kid that a kinar is a harp. The type of harps we have today are string instruments. No, you have to move the strings. Right? Okay. So Zakti Gemara, that David HaMelech had a kinar on top of his bed. And when midnight arrives, so the north wind would come, and the north wind would blow, and then this kinar would start making music. Miyad haya omed v'osik v'torah ashalal mot hashachar. Right away, David HaMelech would get up and learn Torah until amot hashachar came, until the morning star, as it were. Kevan shalal amot hashachar nichnasu chachma yisrael etzlo. Once the morning star comes, so all of the chachma yisrael enter to David. Amrulo, and they say, Adonini HaMelech, am chayisrael tzichim parnasa. King, we need money. Shik gelt. Amalahem, Lachuvis Barnes will send me that. What you need me for? Go earn money with each other, no? Amrulo, Ina Komet Maspia is Ha'ari, Veina Bar Mismale Mechoyaso. The pit can't be refilled from the dirt that comes out of it, and the Komets, the remains, don't satisfy the lion. Basically, we don't have enough to support each other. We don't have enough, we can't do it. So Amalahem, so he says to them, there's like a movie about this, no? Lachu Pashtu Yudechem Begdud. Go and start a war. Right, what was that? Wasn't there a movie like recently or something about how this nation decided that they were having such difficult financial situation, decided to start with the United States?
That's Mouse Peter the Sellers. Door. Peter Sellers, the early the 60s.
Okay. So that's the, it all comes from this Gemara. It's all from Brachos Gimel Mebeis. L'chu pashtu yedeichem begedut. Go and start a war. And that's how you'll get money, right? That's obvious. Yeah, it's good thought. Miyad, so right away, Yoatzim b'Achitofel v'nimlachim b'Sanhedrin v'sholem b'Urim v'Tum. Right away, they get advice from Achitofel, nimlachim b'Sanhedrin, they request permission from the Sanhedrin, and then they ask the Urim v'Tum, and like, should we go to war? Zok Rashi, what's nimlachim b'Sanhedrin? Notlin mehin rishus. You get permission from Sanhedrin. Okay, so now, I saw in the Sefer Arav Raman, Brachos, he points out a nice idea, which I think seems true, that the same word, nimlachen, like hamlech b'kon chavitzei, request permission from Hashem before you go out, and before you go to war, nimlachen b'sanhedrin, you also have to request permission from the Sanhedrin, the request might be the same type of idea. You see, there are certain things in this world that are dangerous, and you don't have permission to do them on your own, right, until you, as it were, request permission. Now, in the context of war, you request permission from Sanhedrin. Should we go to war? Sanhedrin will daven for you. So then war, which is otherwise a dangerous activity, is now safer. Right? When it comes to, back to the first side of the page, when it comes to Tefilas HaDerech, why are we asking permission? So this safer explains based on the Rush. The Rush basically in Brachos, it's Paratess, Simen, Gimel. It's like, I don't know, five sources from the top. It says Rush. So the Rush has an interesting idea. The Rush says that in Ashkenaz and Tsarfas, right, whenever you travel from city to city, you bench Goimel. Excuse me. In Sfarad, in Spain, when they travel from city to city, they bench Goimel. But in Ashkenaz and Tsarfas, they don't bench Goimel when they go from city to city. Right? Because they hold that only if you go through the desert, etc., do you bench Goimel. Aye. V'hada aminam b'Yerushalmi kol ha'drachim b'cheska sakana. The Yerushalmi comments that all roads are dangerous. No? All roads are dangerous. Lo amru elala ingen tefilas haderech bovad. Says the Rush, that's only for tefilas haderech. Meaning, the reason why tefilas haderech is recited is because travel is considered dangerous. Tefilas haderech is a way of asking permission from Hashem to be protected on this way, right? And by asking permission from Hashem, that is going to take the danger away. Now, it's not the type of danger that's really forbidden, no? If it's really dangerous, I'm not allowed to do it. I'm not allowed to engage in risky behavior. But there are certain lower level risks that I am allowed to engage in. Right? It's a big mystery in halacha what percentage of risk am I allowed to engage in? No? The Maram Shik has a tshuva where he assumes that echad mini elef, one out of 1,000. Now, is that true? That's the level of risk that I'm allowed to engage in? If it's more than 1,000, I can't engage in that level of risk? If you read, you know, medicine, for example, would they be able to sell medicine if one out of 1,000 people would die from that pill? Never in a million years. Right? The FDA would not approve such a drug. Right. Am I right? Right? You read the warning.
It's 0.1%.
What?
Isn't it 0.1%?
That's right. So, but I think the medications that the FDA approves have a much lower risk threshold than that. If 1 out of 1,000 people would die, right? So there's no way they'd approve it. Now, obviously, you have to sometimes hedge your bets. If the condition that I have is a condition that I'm likely to die 1 out of 10, and now the medicine, right, I could die 1 out of 1,000, so that's better odds than I have otherwise. Right?
But if you do something just for thrill, like skiing, there's no benefit.
So to engage in risky behaviors,
okay, the Olympics, going up to space,
am I allowed to do this type of thing? Like, the space program does not have such good odds. Right? Starting from Apollo 13 through the Challenger, through the Columbia, we haven't been doing so great in the U.S. space.
Only two.
What?
Only two or three accidents.
Three? Okay. But, I mean, I'll tell you. Now, so if something is very risky halakhically, you're not allowed to engage in it. If something is not so risky, crossing the street is also a risk, no?
Yes.
You could be run over by a unicorn. Who knows what's going to happen?
What?
A garbage truck, right?
A bicycle.
Who knows? Hey, Crown Heights, right? So what's going on exactly? What's the heter? So the answer is the Gemara has an expression that kevon d'doshu be'rabim, that anything that lots of people do is not considered halachically a risk. If everybody's doing it, right, like you told your parents in high school, right? So if everybody's doing it, so it's not called halachically a risk. That's a heter of Dashu Be'rabim. The Gemara uses this in the context of bloodletting. Remember, Shabbos Kuf Chavches, at the time of the Gemara, so one of the main cures for a whole host of ailments was that they would take a cup and they'd take out half of your blood, no? And somehow this made you better if you didn't die in the process. Right? Isn't that like the way medicine used to work? Right? Bloodletting, standard medical practice. Frankly, what's a heter to do? It's kind of risky. So you must have sold Doshu Be'rabim. Everybody does it. No? So the heter that we have is Doshu Be'rabim for many of these activities. But it's not so pashut that, like, some of the... I'm not an expert, like, in extreme sports and stuff. Some of them are risky, correct?
Risky.
You have to know. But the basic idea that the Rush is saying, though, is that the heter to travel is not so pashut. Because kol hadrachim b'cheska sakana. There's a certain danger. Right? Now, for us, it's less extreme, obviously. We don't have pirates on the road. Right?
Terrorists.
We don't have too many terrorists. But I understand if I'm driving in certain communities on the West Bank, right, that Kol Drachim B'Cheska Sakana rings more of a bell, obviously. But the Rush is saying that fundamentally, on a certain level, you should not be allowed to travel. Remember as a kid on Saturday Night Live, they used to have a skit. Remember American Express card has an ad, American Express, don't leave home without us? So they had the Russian Express card. The Russian Express card, don't leave home. Right? That was... So, kol hadrachim b'cheska sakana. Right? It's dangerous. Don't leave home. Right? It's dangerous. That's the basic idea. So, what's my heter to leave? So, on a certain halachic level, the heter is doshu be'rabim. But even so, Chazal said, you know what? We want you to ask permission before you go. So, therefore, we instituted this thing called Tfilas HaDerech. Tfilas HaDerech is Hamlech Bekoncha, request permission. It's a Netilas Rishos, the way Rashi is learning the Gemara. It's asking permission. And therefore, it's more similar to what we began with Birchas Hanenin. It's a Matir. It should be forbidden to travel, if not for your recitation of Tfilas HaDerech. That's the Chiddush of Rashi, the way Rashi understands this Sugya. Good? Let's go on. Obviously, the Rashi is not the only shita out there. Let me just bring you a proof. I saw this in Rabbi Yisroel Belsky's Tshuvas. He quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Where does Tfilas HaDerech appear in Shulchan Aruch? What simen is it? So turn over the page. It's not a secret. It's in Simen Kuf Yud, Sif Dalet. That's Tfilas HaDerech, okay? In Simen Kuf Yud, Sif Dalet. That is found in Hilchos tefillah. Hilchos tefillah. Now, the halachos that we've been saying the last couple of weeks were in Simin Reish Chaf Beis Reish Chaf Gimel in Hilchos Brachos. Tefillas HaDerech is not found in Hilchos Brachos. It's found in Hilchos Tefillah. No? Zokt Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rabbi Belsky quotes this in his Tshuvas, that he thinks that this teaches me that Tefillas HaDerech is fundamentally not what Rashi said. It's not like a bracha of Netilas Rishos, of requesting permission, but it's a petition. It's a tefillah. It's a prayer. God, keep me safe. Right? It's not fundamentally asking permission. Obviously, there's big nafkaminas in terms of what my kavana should be when I recite Tefillas HaDerech, no? If it's... Just let me finish the sentence. If it's a Netilas Rishos, so my kafone is, you know what, I really shouldn't be doing this. That I'm asking permission. But if it's a bakasha, so I'm asking for something for myself, the same as when I ask for Shimon Es, when I say Shimon Es, I ask for 1,000 personal requests. This is an additional personal request. That, I think, is one issue, and we'll flesh this out. Yeah, Lottie?
What do you consider a distance to say to Philosopher?
So we'll get
people
there.
People who like travel to Muncie every day.
We'll talk about this as we move on. Right? We will get to some of the halacha. First, we'll try to set it up conceptually, and then we'll try to tell. Then we'll try to discuss what to do. And if I forget to discuss it, please remind me in a few minutes. Okay. So what are some of the nafgaminas possibly as to whether it's a matir, right, or whether it's a tefillah, whether it's a bakasha, or a, right, is it a matir or a bakasha? Is it a bracha or is it a tefillah? What are some of the nafkaminas in this question? So, a number of nafkaminas I think can be constructed. One is as follows. Can I be mutzi you with tefillas haderech? I remember as kids when we used to go on trips and camp. So one person recites tefillas haderech for everybody. Is that proper or not? So on one hand, right, we have a principle that Baravam Hadras Melech, that when I make a bracha or something, so the more people involved, Baravam Hadras Melech, right? By tefillah, can I be mutzi you? Well, yes, no, kind of, sort of, a little bit. Not really. Right? Everyone davens themselves. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that being mutzi you by tefillah is only if you are what we would call a boor, or an Am Haaretz. I can't be motzi, right, you in davening, by tefillah, I can't be motzi you. By brachos, I can be motzi you, right, but not by tefillah. Right, isn't that interesting? So now, this question as to whether tefillah sederach is fundamentally a bracha, right, in the way of a matir, or is it fundamentally a tefillah, right, Rabbi Belsky points out, might be relevant for whether on the camp trips, right, whether one person should make tefillah sederach for everybody. Now, if it's fundamentally tefillah, so everyone should say it themselves, but, right, for a boor, so I could be motzi you. So Rabbi Belsky, in his tshuva, writes, he thinks, really, when you're going on a trip, everyone should make tefillah sederach themselves, but if you don't have a sitter and you don't know the text of tefillah sederach, so that makes you a boor, and then the one guy who has a sitter could say it for everybody. That's what he has in that tshuva. But this is relevant to the question that we have. Yeah?
Is the principle that you can't be motzi someone else in tefillah a general principle that would apply? Do we see instances other than Shmona Esrei where that principle is applied?
We don't see it outside of Shmona Esrei. So we're not sure. That's a weak point. And in fact, I could contend that the principle, that the idea behind why I can't be multi-yu Shmona Esrei is because it's... Davening is very personal, right? I can't be multi-yu because you don't know what's going through my mind. You don't know what I need to ask for. And therefore, I can't be multi-yu. Right? If that's the case, so then I could argue that even if tefillas haderech is a bracha, but a bracha in the sense of a netilas rishos, so every person based on the contours of who they are and what they're nervous about, has to daven for themselves. And maybe one could argue that this type of bracha, I can't be motzi you, because of the same idea that we usually have by tefillah. But I was just presenting it the way Rabbi Belsky was saying it. It seems to me like you could use the same ideas, but perhaps flip them. And we'll discuss that in a few minutes. Or maybe we'll discuss it like this. There's a discussion in Achronim, in very recent Achronim, like some people were still alive, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And he had a disagreement in the Sefer Isha Yisrael, which I have in front of me. This is like the Shemir Shabbos on davening, the Isha Yisrael. I've had this for a few years. I sort of ripped the cover, so I did a very fine job of binding it myself, as you can tell. So the Isha Yisrael in chapter Nun, it's footnote 4, has a machlokes in Reb Chaim Kanievsky and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach of like this. Should we have a separate filas haderech based on the type of journey that I'm engaged in, that I'm entering? If you look in Rav Yaakovson's Nativ Bina, so he has different texts of tefillas haderech. If I'm on a boat, if I'm on an airplane. Remember as a kid, we used to say the separate airplane tefillas haderech. This sort of like fell out of style, didn't it? Like they used to have like a separate, Ana, right? Ana ametz yidei ochez bahega. Anyone else remember this? Right?
Huh? I do, because I had a
sitter. Right. So I think in the Rinat Yisrael still they have it or something. But it's less popular than it used to be, that there was a separate tefillas haderech for an airplane, a separate tefillas haderech for a boat, a separate tefillas haderech for a camel ride through the desert or something. But the fact is that however I'm traveling, there's a separate text of tefillas haderech. Now, part of that also is, you know, our text of tefillas haderech basically talks about Tatzileinu miko oyev orev, protect us from all enemies, from ambushes, right? So when I say tefillas haderech, should I be asking God to protect me from ambushes, or maybe I should ask God to protect me from car accidents more, right? So am I entitled to finagle, to tamper with the text, and to make up additional clauses in the tefillas haderech? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out that the Ravya is a major German Rishon, the Ravya in his Sefer on Brachos on page 63, the Ravya points out that when you say Tefillas HaDerech, you should add on according to the Mikre that you're involved in, according to the situation. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thinks this is proper. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that no, you shouldn't really add on. You say in the Tefillas HaDerech, V'chum minei paranios, all bad things, that encompasses everything, there's no need to add on. One could argue, and perhaps this is an idea that struck me, if you like it, great, if you don't like it, fine. So maybe this also depends on the question whether it's a tefillah or a bracha. You see, bracha, the way we're explaining it, is a netilas rishos, it's requesting permission. If I request permission, so presumably I should do it according to my own language, according to what I need, according to the situation at hand. Tefillah is generally formalized and fixed. Right, to the extent that tefillas haderech is a tefillah, I could hear saying, "Don't tamper with it." But if it's netilas rishos, if it's requesting permission, then I could hear encouraging people to make their own texts of tefillas haderech because that's preferred. Right, that's a way of adding. That's why I think of adding some meaning to tefillas haderech. So I think that's another aspect of the question whether it's a tefillah, as we say, or whether it's a netilas rishos. There's other questions maybe that we can discuss as we go on.
Wouldn't another nafkamina be whether I say it before setting out on the trip?
So that's what I want to talk about now. When do you say tefillas haderech? So the Gemara says, here, let's actually read on in the Gemara. We'll make a few nafkaminas just based on the Gemara. We'll get to that one also. V'amar Reb Yaakov. How it's second line from the top. V'amar Reb Yaakov, Amar Reb Chisda, Ko ha-yotzei l'derech, Tzorech l'sbal tefilos ha-derech. Mai tefilos ha-derech, the Gemara asks. What is it? Right? And we know the text. Yiratzom ofanecha Hashem alokai. Shetolicheni l'shalom, v'tatz idenu l'shalom, v'tismecheni l'shalom. God should help me go in peace, etc. V'tatz ileini mekaf kol oyev v'orev badech, and save me from enemies and ambushes. V'tishlach bracha b'masa yaday, v'sitneni l'chein l'cheser rachamim be'enecha ve'enei koro ay, baruch ata Hashem shomei atfila. Amar Abaya, right, la'olam lishtof, inish nafshei b'hadei tzibura. A person should always combine himself with the congregation. Therefore, Hecha Neymar, so what should say, Shetoli Cheinu L'Shalom. In other words, at first the Gemara quoted the text of Tfilas HaDerech as being personal, singular. Then the Gemara says, Abaya says, no, that a person should always, Lishtif Inish Navshe Bahadei Tzibura, always combine himself with the Tzibur. So say it B'Lashin Rabim, say it in the plural. This question, I think, also might depend on whether it is a bakasha, is it like prayer?
That would be close of the other people.
So prayer we always do in the plural, right? But if it is requesting permission, so one could contend that it should be in the singular. It happens that the way Rashi notes, it's very interesting. Right? Look at the first, it says, Rashi brecha salamet amraf, lishtif inish. Rashi says, Ah, yispa tefila kitzer b'loshin yachid or b'loshin rabim. Don't say it in the singular, say it in the plural. Shemitokach tefilas o nishma'as. Because if you say it in the plural, your tefila is more likely to be heard. It almost sounds like it's a ploy. Fundamentally, tefilas haderech should be b'loshin yachid. Because Rashi holds, it's really hamlech b'koncha. It's really requesting permission. The logic would dictate it should be in the singular. We say it in the plural because it's a ploy. We want to make sure that our tefillah gets answered. How do I make sure it gets answered? Combine it with everybody. Let's go on in the Gemara. Emas Matzli, when do you say tefillah sederech? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Misha Shemahalech Bederech, the moment you leave. Ad Kama, for how long? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Ad Parasa. You say it until a parasa. Right, a parasa is about 4 mil, I think they say.
About?
It is.
It is.
Thank you.
It's about it.
A parsang. I have no idea how they translate parsa as parsang.
Persian mile. You can see that in some of the old books.
A Persian mile.
Persian mile.
Okay.
Not to confuse with the real mile.
Nothing Persian is real. That's your point?
I didn't go that far.
Okay. So add parasa. Look at Rashi. Right, the Rashi ad parasa. Rashi says, Avolo la'achar shahalach parasa. After you travel a parasa already, you can't make tefillas haderech. Meaning, Rashi is l'shitaso. Rashi says that tefillas haderech is netilas rishus. It's getting permission. I can only ask for permission before I start, no? If I ask for permission, after I've been engaged in this activity, before I'm done, that's not asking for permission. Like, hello, you did it. So Rashi says, ad kama. Right? Once you're only considered starting before you go a parasa. The Taz, by the way, goes further. The Taz Paskins in Siman Kuf Yud, that you could say Tefillas Haderech even before you start. Because if it's Netilas Rishus, it makes sense it should be earlier. No? But if it's a tefillah, if it's prayer, so it doesn't have to be right at the beginning. Right, permission has to be granted earlier. Netilas, right? But tefillah, the petition, that could be later. Rashi continues with other perushim. He quotes in the Bahag, Ad kama yivakish leilach sheitzerch leispalo ad parasa. Afil ein leilach ela ad parasa. Avo derech pachos mi parasa, then you don't say tefillah sederech. Right? Rashi quotes in the Bahag that when we speak about a parasa, that means how long should the trip be? The total trip. It has to be a minimum of a parasa. And that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch also. That we pass in that if the trip is a parasa out of the city, as long as I'm traveling inside the city, I don't make tefillas haderech, no? So I could go from here to the Lower East Side, right? No tefillas haderech, not a question. What about if I go from here to Englewood, or to Teaneck? Do I make tefillas haderech? Right? Now, is it a parasa? Right? Is it a parasa? Is it 4 mil?
Teaneck sure is.
What?
Teaneck for sure is.
Teaneck is 4 mil away. Yeah. But the question is, right, it has to be that my destination is 4 mil away, and also that I leave the Tchum of Shabbos. That's also a requirement. No? We generally assume that crossing the George Washington Bridge is a problem of Trum Shabbos. Rabiner Breuer used to give permission to walk across the bridge. We don't really understand what this is based on. It takes around 25 minutes or half an hour to walk across the bridge, unless you're walking really fast. Now, it depends, of course, how you square off New York City. But most poskim assume, at least the poskim I spoke with, that you really should not walk across the bridge unless you make a trum. Unless you make an Eruv. You have to make an Eruv Trumin. That's what Rav Schachter holds. Rabbi Willig, I believe, also holds that way. You have to make an Eruv Trumin to go across the bridge on a Shabbos. So one could argue that going across the bridge is out of the Trum. If it's out of the Trum and my destination is Teaneck, which is 4 mil away, maybe I should say Tefilas HaDerech. On the other hand, well, maybe it's not out of the Trum. Maybe Rabbi Breuer is right. It's possible, right, that Rabbi Breuer is right. And if it's really not out of the Trum, they don't make Tefilas HaDerech. So it remains a Suffolk. Now, what do I do about a Suffolk bracha? So the best thing to do is say Tefilas HaDerech. Remember, the end of Tefilas HaDerech is Shomeya Tefilah. So add it in the Shomeya Tefilah of your Shmona Esrei. If you're going to Teaneck, the best thing to do is to add a few words in your bracha of Shomeya Tefilah Shmona Esrei that will count as a Tefilas HaDerech. I think that's the best option in these situations, and have in mind that it's going to go, like the Taz says, even before you start traveling, you could recite Tefilas HaDerech. Have in mind that it should go on your trip to Teaneck, or when you travel to Muncie, or these things. These are all sfeikos. It's not clear exactly, when you go down up and down the eastern seaboard in New York, the eastern seaboard in the United States, it's not so pashat where the Trumen of various towns end, because Trum Shabbos is one of the great mysterious areas of halacha that very few people know. And it depends how you square off the cities and where the ends of the cities are. It's really not simple to figure out. Generally, for Shabbos purposes, we're machmir, but for Tefilas HaDerech purposes, one should probably recite Tefilas HaDerech in the Bracha Shomayat Tefilah in Shmona Esrei as a suffix. Rabbi Belsky in his Tshuvas has an interesting idea, which is that he writes as follows. Since Tefilas HaDerech is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos as Hilchos Tefilah, so it's like davening. And since the Gemara writes that we don't say suffix brachos lahakka when it comes to davening, right? The Gemara says, if I have a question, if I davened, I didn't daven, I should daven again. Why? Because halavai shi espaldom kol yom kulo, right? Yeah, you should try to daven all day. Right? Petitions, keep on asking, ask again, right? So Rabbi Belsky contends that maybe we don't apply suffix brachos lahakka to Tefilas HaDerech, and therefore, in the suffix situation, you should make it. This seems to me to be not mainstream Judaism. I think it's much better in the suffix case to say it in Shomeya Tefilah, but the suffix cases are very, very common where we live, because if we're uncertain about the bridge and its status of Trum, that should be relevant for Tefilas HaDerech as well. David. It's not dangerous at all.
999,999 don't have any incident. Right.
It's not worthy of Tefilas. So, I mean, there certainly is a concept like that. I had a Rebbe, one of my high school Rebbeim, is Rabbi Yehoshua Kalish. He was my 11th grade Rebbe. So one time I was driving with him back and forth to camp. So Rabbi Kalish says, I don't make Tefilas HaDerech, it's not dangerous anymore. He was in Camp Heller. I was in Morashas, just like I was going into the sea, like very late one day or something. So I got a ride with him because I didn't want to drive so late at night. So I drove from Morashas to Heller. He drove me into the city. Then he drove me back the next day. That was basically, had a date, whatever it was. That was basically the story. So I remember getting back to Morashas and telling Rabbi Willig that, by the way, your cousin, Rabbi Kalish, doesn't make Tefilas HaDerech because it's not dangerous. So Rabbi Wally got all upset. He's like, it's not dangerous. And Rabbi Wally gets like very nervous about danger and stuff. That's why he assumes that you're not allowed to go skiing, and like he doesn't like it when we play tackle football in camp. No one listens to him. But the fact is that I don't know if you could say it's really not dangerous. I mean, like when the Gemara says, when the Yerushalmi says, we don't know the level of sakana that was. People still traveled. It wasn't really dangerous. It was a low-level danger. And I think travel, even by car, is low-level danger. The fact is, more people die in auto accidents every year than die in space shuttle accidents. Right? And you can't argue with that. That's numerically.
If someone's going to say,
if I'm leaving in the morning, I should say in Shmona Esrei or Shacharis. I don't know if any discussion posting of how long it is. Ram said, if you look in the Alter Rebbe Siddur, in the Lubavitcher Siddur, so Tefillas HaDerech is printed right after Shacharis. I thought the idea is because he holds like the Taz, that fundamentally you should say Tefillas HaDerech when you're still in the city, which is based on what we're saying now. By the way, that could also be why Tefillas HaDerech appears in Hilchos Tefillah, because you say it right after Tefillah in the morning. It's closer to a davening type of idea. Let's just do, yeah.
Some cases, being inside of a city, traveling inside of a
it's
city,
is also dangerous.
Like in Benghazi, if you have diplomatic plates, you know, you're just driving along.
If it's a genuine sakana, so it could be that you have to bench a gomel in those cases, right? But again, generally in the world that we live in, most of us don't live in Benghazi. So in the world that we live in, yeah.
I guess Facebook, let me try to argue it this way. is it any more dangerous to drive from here to the Lower East? Is it any less dangerous to drive from here to the Lower East
than to drive from here to Tina? What you're going to say is that most car accidents happen within, what, 2 blocks of your house or something, right?
Well,
isn't that?
I don't know if that's true, but all I'm saying is,
right, so I think you have to say that there's like a certain, because of the din in the Yerushalmi of Kol Hadrachim B'Cheska Sakana, so they established a formal rule of Tefillas HaDerech when I leave the city. It's a formal halacha. Once I'm saying it's a formal halacha, so it's no longer, it could be that the Siba, that the reason why they made the Takana was because of the danger, but once they made the Takana of Tefillas HaDerech, so it takes on its own rules. And the rules are, when I leave the city, I recite Tefillas HaDerech. If I don't,
I mean, that could be the halacha, or it could be that the Yerushalmi said that because in the Yerushalmi's time it was true that within the city,
right? Correct. That's a fair question. Let me give you an aspect of this question that some discuss. When do I recite Tefillas HaDerech on the plane? Now, I should point out that there's like a humorous thing that Rav Zevin quotes in his Ishim Vishitos from the Rugachever. No? That the Rugachever is supposed to be a super genius. He was. So the Tefillas HaDerech, it's a road, a path, a trip. So the Gemara says, Ki Kari Kan Sipar Lefanecha Baderech, if I find a bird, a nest of birds, Baderech, and there's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. So Gemara in Chulon Kuflamites says, Baderech, that doesn't apply if I'm flying somehow. If I'm flying, that's not called Baderech. So based on this, the Rugachever says that when you fly, you don't make Tefillas HaDerech. That's what they quote from the Rugachever. And that's what Rav Zevin has in the Ishim Vashitos. For some reason, Rabbi Belsky in his Tshuvas quotes the same idea from Rav Ruderman. I knew Rav Ruderman. Rav Ruderman was too serious to say this for it.
If we're removing it from the realm of what's actually safe and dangerous and saying it's whatever the Yerushalmi said it is, then they weren't talking about flying.
Right. You could say it like that, but the fact is, when do I say Tefillas HaDerech on a plane ride? So some say the plane ride when they're up in the air, that's not Baderech. Not Baderech, you don't make Tefillas HaDerech. Okay, that's already a little bit humorous. There's a tshuva in Yechavadas, Chacham Ovadia has. He, I think, like makes jokes about this. That doesn't really make sense. So some say, when do you make Tefillas HaDerech? So some say, when you take off, but before you really leave the city, when you're still within, like the regular rules of Tefillas HaDerech. Others say that no, we kind of don't follow exactly the regular rules. Remember, the Taz says I say Tefillas HaDerech when I'm still in the city. Others say I should say Tefillas HaDerech after embarking, before I leave, right? Before I leave. If So some say that maybe in the airplane flight, we should recite Tefillas HaDerech like the Taz, even if you don't usually hold like the Taz, but here you should recite it before you actually take off, but when you're going down the runway, when you're about to depart, because that's the most dangerous time of the trip. Right? That's like the Shmua, that's what people say. That seems to follow your idea, David, that what we're saying is that's based on the danger, per se. I think that it's an open question. The question as to whether the takon is based on a formal din of derech or whether it's because of the danger aspect is something, right? To say that maybe we shouldn't recite Tefillas HaDerech at all today, I don't think is mainstream psak, with the exception of my 11th grade Rebbe. I don't know anyone who said that orally.
What about stopovers or two legs of the same trip?
Yeah, so stopovers or two legs. So if I stop off and I'm going to continue and I'm not sleeping overnight, I don't make a new Tefillas HaDerech. If I sleep overnight, so you make Tefillas HaDerech the next day. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. All this stuff is here in Shulchan Aruch. Yes, if, hey, Ein lo melo pam achas biyom, you only say Tefillas HaDerech once a day. Afilim yonuach be'ir be'emtzayom. If I rest in the city in the middle of the day, I don't say new Tefillas HaDerech. Avom dato lolon be'ir va'achagach nimlach v'yotze mimenu la... If I think I'm sleeping over, right, and then it turns out that like all the motels say no vacancy, so I have to travel, I have to keep on going, so I make a new Tefillas HaDerech because I thought I was stopping. Right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, now, let's go back to the Gemara. I just want to finish up this Gemara about Tefillas HaDerech. So the Gemara says here, we're in the second part of the Gemara, Bracha Salamet Amr Aleph, right, that I say Tefillas HaDerech ad Parsa, and we explained what that means, that according to Rashi, that it's a matir, I should say at the beginning of the trip. Those who assume that's a tefillah could understand ad Parsa until the last Parsa of the trip, and there is such an opinion in the Meiri and in other Rishonim, that you could say it as long as you're going, because that's understanding that fundamentally Tefillas HaDerech is a petition. V'heicha matzala, how do I daven Tefillas HaDerech? Rav Chisda amar me'umad. Rav Chisda says I should stand up. Rav Sheshes amar filo mahalach. She says you can say it even if you're walking. Rav Chisda, Rav Sheshes are going on a trip. Come Rav Chisda v'kamasi. Rav Chisda stands up and he says Tefillas HaDerech. He's davening. I'm like, Rav Sheshes Hashame. What are you? What's Rav Chisda doing? He said, oh, he's davening. I'm like, Ukman Nami Lididiv Atzi, make me stand up. Mios Tava Tikra. If you could do it right, why do it wrong? Basically. So the Gemara has a discussion. Is Tefillas HaDerech said standing or sitting? This question also might relate to whether Tefillas HaDerech is fundamentally a tefillah or not. If it's fundamentally a tefillah, the paradigmatic tefillah is Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei, we stand. No? However, if it's a netilas reshus, so then one could argue that you could say it's sitting. On the other hand, maybe it's more respectful to stand up. The Gemara says it's better to stand. Now, usually you can't really stand when you say Tefillas HaDerech, right? If you try to do that, you bump your head, your car ends up like going where you don't want it to go. You really need to say it's a bad idea. By the way, the Achronim say that you should not say Tefillas HaDerech when you're actually driving. I had a Rebbe who used to learn when he was driving. It's like a really bad idea. What? He had a safer, yeah.
Like on his lap?
No, on the steering wheel. He was an asmid. He also has failing vision. It was a scary thought. But the fact is, Achronim say that you should stop your car, get out, try to say Tefillas HaDerech. If I'm out of the car, you may as well stand it, say it's standing up. You'll still have a ticker route. If I'm driving, so I should have a passenger say it. The driver should probably not say Tefillas HaDerech unless you really know it by heart. But even so, it's probably better. You have more kavanah if a passenger says it. What about being motzi? That's what we spoke about earlier, that Tefillas HaDerech, if it's a bakasha, fundamentally you can be motzi. If it's a tefillah, you can't. Should you stand up for Tefillas HaDerech? So if you're on a bus or something and it's not dangerous to stand, you may as well stand. But in most cases, just the standing for Tefillas HaDerech is not all that practical. This question of whether Tefillas HaDerech is a tefillah or a matir is also relevant. There's a discussion of an onein, someone who lost a close relative and the kavura has not yet happened, so an onein is putter from all mitzvahs. But anything that's a matir, presumably, an onein has to do. Because a matir, it's usher to do it, it's usher to do the activity without the heter. So There is a big discussion in Rebbe Tzalo Stern, used to be the rabbi of Melbourne, Australia. He wrote a full sefer on Tfilas HaDerech called Ahalech Bamitecha. If you have a lot of time on your hands, that's what you could do. You could write a sefer on Tfilas HaDerech. So in that sefer, he discusses the question whether an onen should recite Tfilas HaDerech. That should also depend on this question. I think the standard practice is that an onen does not recite Tfilas HaDerech, that someone else should recite it for them, if possible. Is there any other issue that I wanted to...
make a round trip, do you have to say it in the return leg?
So generally the practice is that today we say v'tachzirenu l'veisenu, you say, if it's a round trip the same day, you say, and return us. That's also found in that same ravya that we mentioned that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach dug up. The ravya says that you can add stuff. That's the standard practice. There is a discussion about the tefillah sederach should be a bracha smucha l'chaverita. No? It's found in Shulchan Aruch over here in Se'if Vav, that Maharam of Rittenberg was like super duper orthodox, and he tried to be machmir for all the shitos. This comes up in a number of areas. Maharam of Rittenberg, we have a general rule that brachos begin with the word baruch. Tefillah sederach doesn't begin with the word baruch, it begins with yehi ratzon. How come not? So, unclear exactly why not. Different approaches in Rishon. Rabbi Frittenberg said, you know what? Try to artificially make it into a bracha smuch l'chaverita. And therefore, he would say it after the bracha of gomel chasadim tovim, he would say it to make it a tefillah sederach. The Mishnah Berurah recommends that what you should do is that you should eat something and then make a bracha achron and then say tefillah sederach after. I shouldn't do it right after the bracha rishona because the eating will be a hefsek, will be an interruption between the bracha rishona and my tefillah sederach. But I should do it right after the bracha achrona if possible. Now, this question as to whether we should try to make it a bracha smuch l'chaverita also might relate. You see, if it's a tefillah, so tefillahs are all combined together in one tefillah thing, and then should fundamentally be bracha smuch l'chaverita. It's an additional petition, it's an additional request among all the other requests that I have. However, I would argue that if tefillah sederach is fundamentally netilas reshus, if what I'm doing is I'm asking permission to go out, what we try to show from Rashi. So if I'm requesting permission, so in some ways, when you request permission for other stuff together with the real thing you're requesting permission for, that detracts from the permission that you're asking. No? If I really want one thing, ask for that one thing. If I also have five other things that I incorporate in the request, that takes away, doesn't it? So I would argue that if you hold that Tfilas HaDerech is fundamentally Netilas Rishos, that you should not try to make it Bracha Smuch L'Chaverita. That it makes sense only in the context of Tfilah, not in the context of Netilas Rishos. Again, these are some of my thoughts about it. It happens that Yeshiva is coming out with a book. It's not yet published, the Mitocha Ohal on Tfilah. So I wrote an article about Tfilas HaDerech. Basically, everything I said tonight will be published in that article, should that book ever come out. But that is basically what we're up to, and thank you for coming and listening.